I assume that this will be up Sunday morning, and I want to thank Elaine for that because I'm late getting it done this week. And I think if it's up tomorrow, if it's up in the morning when it's supposed to be, it's because she got up early and she posted it. But if it's running a little bit late this week, I do apologize. I wanted to read from James chapter 4. Kind of a passage that's always intrigued me, and I just wanted to think about it a little bit this week. Starting in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. And I guess the reason this passage kind of intrigues me is I think this is, at least in this world that we live in today, this is one of the most natural things. We ask children when they're going off to college or, getting ready to graduate from high school, one of the questions that comes up is, what are you going to do? What are your plans? And I think sometimes children feel like they need to have plans. They need to know what it is, which they have to have some sort of plans, either to go get a job, even if it's a temporary job, or go to some sort of school, or I mean they got to do something, but they feel like they have to tell what the future holds. I plan to go to school here for the next 4 years, get my degree in such and such, and then I'm gonna do this and da da da. And we kind of expect people to have that plan. And I don't really think that in and of itself, I don't think it's saying that making plans is wrong. I think the sin here is the presumption. The sin here is the lack of humility and the lack of dependence upon God. I think in life it's kind of necessary oftentimes to have a plan. Again, going back to the children getting ready to go to school, or they, planning to try to go to school so they can become a teacher, or go to a trade school, become an electrician, or go get a job, join the army, or what else they are going to do. But I think it comes back more to this attitude of if the Lord wills. And I think, secondly, what it's talking about here is in the back of our mind, this sort of attitude I just mentioned, but that life is temporary and that we don't control the future and that we're not even promised tomorrow. Kind of as I was thinking about this, I think back to a story that was once given, and it's kind of a situation I mentioned in different things a number of times, but I went to one time when I was a minister at Archer City. I went to a seminar at United Regional Hospital by somebody from hospice out east. I don't remember exactly if it was Virginia or one of the Carolinas or something like that. But this guy came from hospice, and he had some of my favorite quotes. Then one was he told us what an expert was, and the best he could figure, an expert was someone who got on a plane and traveled a long distance to speak in front of a whole lot of people he didn't know. And his point was, is one time he went to the next county to give a seminar, and hardly anybody showed up, and it wasn't, but then he goes halfway across the country to give a seminar in front of a whole bunch of people he doesn't know, and he ended up in this room full of people. And so he figured out that an expert is someone who travels a long distance, and then they must be really, really smart. But anyway, he was telling the story that's not my point. I like that expert thing. But my point was, is he gave this other thing. He gave a flow chart that was used at a hospital that discussed, treatment plans and so forth. But you know, a patient arrives and you make the diagnosis and then you give such and such a treatment and things like that. And if that didn't work, obviously if they're healed, if that works, then they're discharged. If that doesn't work, then it goes back, it loops back around, it's reevaluated, a new treatment is proposed and things like that. But he pointed out on this flow chart, the point he was making is nowhere on the flow chart was there anything about death, that maybe somebody comes to the end of their life. And yet the point he had to make is that most people, and I think he would pretty much say all people, at some point in their life, they come to the end of their life when they're going to die. And oftentimes, when people are approaching the end of their life, at some point along the way, they end up going to a hospital. Of course, he would say that you're better off not dying in a hospital. You're better off being sent home, die around the people you love, or sent to some sort of hospice facility, and again be surrounded by people you love. But his point is that sometimes, that there's comes to a point, you approach the end of their life, and there's really nothing that the hospital can do. And he would argue, or he argued that day, that it was actually a natural thing, that our bodies wear out, we wear out, and there comes to a point to where maybe we're not meant to make it another day, and to treat it like that everybody, whether they be 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, 102, is supposed to live forever is just a misnomer, and he was kind of pointing that out. But I guess the analogy I would make is that we often live our lives as though we are promised tomorrow. And yet, as James points out here, while you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? It's like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And he's talking about the presumption of us making plans and us planning the future and say we're going to do this for a year and then go on and then we'll come back and so on and so forth. And I think oftentimes we do live our lives as though we are promised tomorrow. I think along those lines, the trap we sometimes fall into in life is we can fall into the trap of always looking forward to the future. When somebody's in high school, they can be looking forward to, okay, then, I'm going to graduate and then I can go on and go off to college or go do this or go do that. And then they get to college, and then they're looking, before you know it, they're looking forward to when they graduate from college, and they can get their degree and get married and get a job and things like that. And so they're looking forward to that next part of their life. And then, before too long, they're thinking about having kids. And then, but as soon as they have kids, they're thinking about, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when my kids grow up, or when I get this promotion and things like that, and things settle down here. There's always almost in life this temptation to look forward to a year from now, 2 years from now, when I get to this point in my life, or when I get to this point in my life, then things are going to settle down, and then things will be better. And I say this because I know, and I've been there, that kind of where we get in this trap of always living life for tomorrow. We think 6 months from now, a year from now, when things settle down, then life will be good. And I really think that sort of thing is kind of a trap because we can go on like that for forever. And I think about a few songs. I think of one song from Trace Atkins. He talks about this sort of thing. It's a song called "You're Going to Miss This." Says she was staring out the window of the SUV, complaining, saying, "I can't wait till I turn 18." She said, "I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama, put the car in park. there in front of the school, and she kissed her head and said, "I was just like you. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. So take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this." Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in her one-bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says it'll do for now. Starts talking about babies and buying a house. Daddy shakes his head and says, "Baby, just slow down. You're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this." 5 years later, there's a plumber working on the water heater, dogs barking, phones ringing, one kid's crying, the other kid's screaming. She keeps apologizing. He says, "They don't bother me. I've got two babies of my own. One's 36, one's 23. It's hard to believe, but you're going to miss this. You're going to want this back. You're going to wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times, so take a look around. You may not know it now, but you're going to miss this." But it kind of illustrates this life, you know, of always thinking, you know, when I get to this point, or I get this new house, or I get this new job, or when things settle down, or when things aren't so crazy and things like that. And I think about another quote that says that life is what happens when you're busy making plans. And then I think of another song by Don Henley. It's called a song called "The Last Worthless Evening." But he made this statement in the song. He says, "There's only so many winters and only so many springs." And that's really true. I mean, that's really true. You know, whether you live 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, you know, there's a finite number of future winters, a finite number of springs. And the point I'm trying to get at, it's not a stop and smell the roses, which is kind of the way, and maybe more the point of Trace Atkins' song, but, you know, the way the world looks at things. But I guess it's more of a thing, a mentality I think we should have as Christians of what does God want us to do in our life, where we are right now. Or as Paul says in, I believe it's Ephesians chapter 4, when he talks about making the most of time because the days are evil. It's making the most of time, it's making the most of life right now. And so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about you could ask the question, where does God want you? And I would suggest that where God wants us is he wants us where we are in our lives right now. He wants you to make the most of where you are right now. You know, if you're a child in school, you know, can you have a positive influence on your friends and on those around you? If you're in college today, again, you know, can you have a positive influence on your friends there and the people there at your college? Or if you're a young adult and have young children, you know, God wants you where you are right now. And how can you use those days to take advantage of these times and to try to be a positive influence on your children? Or if you've got a job and you're working, and, you know, how can you be a positive influence on your coworkers or your boss or your employees? If you've still got parents and you've got, you know, aunts and uncles, I mean, there's only so many days that you'll have, you know, and so many years that you'll have with them. And what, you know, can you be a positive influence on them? If you're retired, you know, how can you use these days and these years to help people and to serve the Lord where you are right now? So, I think we get caught up in this trap, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of we're always thinking about tomorrow and when I reach this point in my life or I reach that point in my life and things like that. And yet we only have, in this life, 80, 90, 100 years probably at most that our life is going to be anyway. And if we're wishing, these years to go by and these 5, 10, 15, 20 years to go by and things like that until things settle down, we don't even know that we have 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And I think some people know that, some of you are older than myself and are realize that you definitely have, a limited number of years left. But I just think, the question is, as we wake up each morning, is how can we make the most of where we are right now? How can we be a positive influence on, whether it be our children, whether it be our grandchildren, whether it be our husband or our wife, whether it be friends that we have, whether it be acquaintances we have, whether it be neighbors that we have. Whatever the case may be, and your situation is obviously different than my situation, and all our situations vary. But instead of worry, again, it's not wrong to make a plan. You can make plans for tomorrow. But when you're making a plan and you go to school and you're working on a degree, you don't even know when you're 18 or 19. If you're, you don't even know how long your life's going to last at that point. But you should work hard and work heartily serving the Lord and try hard to get that degree. But part of your life is, your relationship with your parents. Part of your life is your relationship with other students there. Part of your life is your relationship with your parents. And how do you carry yourself? And how do you serve the Lord while you're in that situation? Because, you're not promised tomorrow. Again, the situation when you have young children. I mean, all these situations in life are important. When we're adult children, and we have children of our own, there's only so many years that we're going to have our parents left. When you get to be older and you have grandchildren, there's only so many years that your grandchildren are going to be young. When your grandchildren get a little older, and things like that. All these times, I guess my point is all these times in our lives, in the various stages of our life, is God has an opportunity, if we let him, to use us. And if we don't let him use us in these various stages that we find ourselves in, whether 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, we can't get those stages of our life back. And I go back to that quote, life is what happens when you're busy making plans, because that's exactly true. I mean, every year of your life is important. And every year of your life as a Christian is a time where hopefully that God can use you. One that you need to hold fast to your faith, but maybe one that God can use you to be an influence on others. And I think it's in that perspective that we should view all our days. That, we can make plans. But we make plans in humility. We know that tomorrow's not promised us. We know that next year is not promised us. We know that 5 years from now, 10 years from now is not promised us. But we can make plans for the future. We can play plans for next week, next month, next year. But we make it with an attitude of humility that I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure what the future holds, or if God wills, I'll do this or that. That attitude in our back of their mind. I don't think you have to say it every single time you're getting ready to do something. If the Lord wills, I'll drive down the road. If the Lord wills, I'll go get groceries tomorrow. I don't, I think we should have that attitude all the time. I don't know that we have to say it every single day. If you want to say it, that's great. I just, but just the humility to realize that the future is not promised us, And so what we need to do as Christians is make the most of today. And again, by making the most of today, I'm not talking about stop and smelling the roses. I'm not against that. If you want to stop and smell the roses, you can. But making the most of the day is, how can God use me to influence the people around me today? And I'm not saying, you know, I know a lot of people, you have jobs, you have work to do, you have school to do, you have assignments and things like that. And I work heartily is serving the Lord in whatever situation you find yourself in. But there's also moments in those days where maybe it's around family members, maybe it's around coworkers, maybe it's around friends, where you can either have a Christian attitude and a Christian influence, or you can be impatient and frustrated and mad and angry. And so we have each and every day, what kind of husband can I be? What kind of wife can you be? What kind of, you know, parents or children can we be? You know, every day we have an opportunity to our attitude, the free moments of our day, our time, to yield ourselves to God and to figure out how we can use those days to best serve Him. And so my prayer to you this week is just to have humility in this life, that, you know, realize we don't know the future, and then realize that this day, this week, this month, and this year is important. Because where God wants you right now is where you are right now. But how can you be a positive influence on the other people in your life right now? Because a few years from now, you may not have those same people in your life. They may have moved on. Some of them may have passed away. Or we may have passed away. You know, our life is temporary. Their life is temporary. We're not promised tomorrow. So make the most of today. Again, not talking about in an unspiritual way, in a worldly way of live life to the full, a carpe diem philosophy or anything like that, but making the most of time in a godly way, trying to see what God wants us to do in our lives. God's grace be with you all. Thank you.